Matt Rhule took over a scandal-ridden program at Baylor, won one game last season, won six this season, and if Baylor can defeat Vanderbilt in the Texas Bowl, then Baylor will have a winning record. Matt, you're on with Sean Pendergast, Mike Meltzer, Paul Gallant, and thank you for joining
us. Both guys are determined to get a play for their team. Harden!
Rivers passes, caught for the touchdown by Williams. Skandrick comes out of that play looking for a flag for a push-off and doesn't get it. And Phillip Rivers puts two fingers up as if they are going to go for the win. This for the win. 4 seconds left in the game, but this is likely the final play that matters. End zone wide open. What a night for Mike Williams. And the Chargers have their first lead of the night at 29-28.
Mad Radio, good morning on a Football Friday on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. We had a busy night of a lot of different sports. So we had the Rockets putting together a win against the Lakers, their second in a row. 126-111, James Harden was great. We had the Chargers winning possibly the game of the year in the NFL on Thursday Night Football with a late two-point conversion. Good morning, how are you guys?
I don't know if the game of the year? There have been so many games of the year in the NFL. It's been a really good season.
Maybe the game of the year.
Game of the year.
Given who was playing one another, the division rivalry side of things.
I think that you guys are giving Kansas City the kind of respect that they deserved in the first two-thirds of the season, but haven't deserved since. Well, I'd say first half of the season. So this is what bothers me. This is what drives me crazy. Can you believe it? The Chargers, the upstart Chargers, are somehow challenging the Chiefs for the AFC West crown.
This is the two best teams in the AFC.
But did the Chargers sneak up on somebody somehow? I guess they did because nobody wanted to actually believe that the Chargers were as good as they are.
I think it's that they're winning games in such non-Charger-like fashion. Like, they're doing to other people what people used to do to them.
They muffed that punt in the fourth quarter, which previous Chargers teams for the past decade, that would have been it for them.
Possibly.
That would have been like, the Chargers screwed it up. They had a good thing going, and then they blew it.
Or they would have botched the two-point conversion, something along those lines.
Yeah.
Something.
I don't necessarily know it was the game of the year, but I mean, it's the two best teams in the AFC playing each other. That's what I liked about it. I mean, this is probably a game that could decide ultimately home field advantage because now the Chargers actually have a legitimate shot at winning it. And I think that these are really the only two teams that have a chance of winning it.
Sadly, what might end up happening is the Patriots getting the one seed again, which, oh God, I just want to avoid all costs. Like, it's one thing if the Patriots were some kind of like high-flying, great attack, but they are not. I don't want to avoid that, but that seems like it's a distinct possibility. Now, Kansas City still controls its own destiny to win the AFC West.
But they got to do it through Seattle.
They got to go to Seattle
next
week and win.
Crap. They haven't controlled crap in 5 weeks. They're 2-2 in the last 4 weeks. Sorry, go ahead, Mike.
They are 2-2. You are factually correct.
And
however,
they barely beat the Ravens.
Yeah, they barely beat the Ravens. They barely beat the Raiders. But they still control their own fate. I don't know what people like when people are like, "Hey, your destiny's already controlled for you," or whatever that stupid argument is.
Just gonna spit in the face of God at 6:04 in the morning, and so be it.
I have to admit, I was not a fan. I just mentioned this on Fox 26 a few minutes ago. I was not a fan of the Chargers going for the two-point conversion just because I feel sometimes it's basically like, well, we're just leaving it down to one play. But you know what? You know what? I'm wrong. I think I'm just probably
good,
wrong.
Good, good, good. I was sitting at the bar. We went to the Rustic after we went to Rockets Lakers, my friend Brad and I, and we watched the end of Chargers and Chiefs. And I, after a couple of cocktails, I stood up and I said, two! I held up my finger with two fingers up, like they could see me through the television that I think we were watching through a stream because it was a little bit slow and choppy. But oh my, I'm so glad they went for two. I saw Phillip Rivers hold up his fingers for two, and then of course they reviewed the Mike Williams touchdown, and I was so excited because I was like, they're going to go for it. This is great. They're actually going to go for it. It's not going to go to overtime. They're going to try to take care of business right here. Anthony Lynn, you big sacked buster. What a great call. I was so pumped to see that.
And it's not like you had to go for two because, oh my gosh, Pat Mahomes is on the other side of the field. They'd largely contained them in the second half. You know, the beginning, everybody's whining about the officials with the Chargers. Did they get the benefit of the doubt a couple plays in a row? Of course they did. But the Chiefs got the benefit of the doubt on their first drive. The first drive of that quarter, they had two drive, they had two, like, pretty sketchy penalties that helped extend the drive.
KC got some big calls last night. The officiating made the game really spotty.
Yeah.
It had a weird flow to it. And by weird flow, I mean it did not really have a great flow.
Philip Rivers whining to the officials about getting hit as he wasn't sliding with 27 seconds left was driving me nuts. Like, dude, the clock is running. What are you doing?
That was the weird part.
Get back up and call a play. I think Anthony Lynn did the right thing in going for it there because they'd established for two plays in a row by the time they scored that touchdown that they were going to let Mike Williams do whatever it took to get open and make a catch. He put on the sketchy defensive pass interference call on Fuller.
The bailout call?
On Fuller. Yeah. Like, what they didn't show in the replay, it was driving me nuts they weren't showing this in the replay, was that Williams pushed off. You know, and not one that you would have to call, but it made Fuller, the defensive back's hand slap, it made it understandable because there's a little bit of hand fighting going on there.
I did not see the whole game because, I was at Rockets Lakers, but from what I watched, it was a very triplety game. There were a lot of helmet-to-helmet calls that weren't called just on that last drive. It felt like Kansas City got away with a lot on that last drive, and then they finally threw that pass interference call, as you mentioned, which was shaky as it was. Yeah, I could go for a little consistency, number one. And number two, I mean, I know people don't want the game to slow down, but can we please add some replay element to hold these referees somewhat accountable? Because if I'm a referee and these calls are such a big deal the next day and you can see everything with the slow motion replay, wouldn't you want to have a safety net behind you?
Counterpoint, they did fire an official this year for bad calls. So, I mean, there is accountability. These guys get graded, they get rolled out. It's just that you're never gonna be able to go back the next day and be like, oh, they really screwed that up. We're just going to go ahead and change. Let's replay the game today because there were some bad calls
But by that logic, that whole crew should be fired from last night.
It was a rough game.
I don't think that a lot of the calls were as bad as people are making this out to be. I feel like this is a little bit of the Twitter overreactionary, like, freak out. I need to blame this on somebody else. I thought there were some ticky-tack calls, but they were calls nonetheless and justifiable calls.
I need a head on a pike. I need heads on a pike. I need examples being made.
Did they reinstate that guy they fired? That guy stayed fired, did he not?
Old fella in the fella pants?
Yeah.
He's dead. They executed him. He's gone forever.
I have no clue. Well, this Charger team can win this conference. I mean, they are good enough. Think about what they've done in the last, like, 11 days. They came back against Pittsburgh on the road. They were down 23-7, came back and won. Last night, they were down by two touchdowns against Kansas City at Arrowhead, and they came back and won. And I guarantee you, the feeling this morning in Kansas City, a month early, is, here we go again. Here we go again. That's the juju of playing the Chiefs in the playoffs, is that all of those fans, everybody in Kansas City, is just sitting there and waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Yeah, I saw somebody talking smack the other day to one of our listeners about the Texans being chokers in the playoffs because they beat Hoyer. Hoyer with a concussion, a lingering concussion, 30-0 a few years back. Like, you're the Kansas City Chiefs. You're not allowed to talk anything about the playoffs.
We gave you that game. Yeah. We wildcatted you because we felt bad for you, bro.
We rolled out a guy who was missing at least a full hemisphere of his brain. Maybe three-quarters of his entire brain.
Do you feel bad for Brian Hoyer? I do
because he did like everything he could to game the concussion test and get himself back out there. He was in a hyperbaric chamber. He was doing Sudoku. He was
Sudoku.
He got all his stuff. He somehow passed the concussion protocol. I wonder if the concussion protocol has advanced to this point where, like, they actually would have not allowed, like, whatever tests they're using, maybe they've advanced and it'd be like, oh yeah, based on that Brian Hoyer playoff game from a few years back, no, you're not allowed to play today.
You're not Texans worthy unless you try to fight through the concussion test.
Paul, what was your main takeaway from being at the Rockets Lakers game last night?
Well, first off, there are a lot of Laker fans, and I understand that that's sort of one of the dynamics with Laker fans everywhere. I'm not going to hold that against anyone. That was the quietest triple double I can remember because we looked up in the middle of the third quarter and saw, oh wow, James Harden is a rebound and an assist away from a triple-double, and he had 32 points. And then all of a sudden, in the fourth quarter, he has that sequence of 9 points essentially in a row, including a three that he hit over LeBron James, which was stupid.
Amazing.
Much like early in the game when he dunked on JaVale McGee with a left-handed tomahawk. It was incredible. I knocked James Harden a lot. This was a really impressive performance, and I saw from our group text after the game, Mike, that apparently James Harden held a 2-hour practice or something before tonight's or last night's game.
Well, I don't think it was before like the game on game
okay,
day.
Okay, good. I wasn't 100% sure what happened. I just saw you text about that.
We'll play the audio at some point, probably this hour. But he told Kristen Ledlow in a pretty good post game. He was energetic for the national TV cameras. I don't know if anybody had reported this or written about this, and I had somehow not seen it or it slipped my mind. But Harden apparently called for a 2-hour practice at some point this week.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that would have been Wednesday or Monday based on when they played. And he was great last night. He was terrific.
LeBron James and Kyle Kuzma decided to get all hissy and play with their hands behind their back for a while because, LeBron, he can never get any help from the officials, can he? Poor LeBron.
Southern Belle, LeBron
Poor
James?
What's that?
I thought you were going into Southern Belle, LeBron James.
Southern Belle,
you
LeBron. I wouldn't
know because I don't check the social media, but it seems to me I had never thus realized it before. This James Harden character, he is a crafty and sly ne'er-do-well, and I cannot abide this. I wage my war of non-resistance by putting my hands behind my back, and I put it to you, good sirs, what can a little girl like me do but
flop.
Pretend but depend upon the chivalry of you, Mr. Officials. I'm sorry, Mr. Commissioner, but I have no other choice.
Yeah.
He's still so good.
He really is incredible.
I'm not
but
sure.
He's annoying as hell.
I'm not sure what to make of their team yet. I mean, they're obviously pretty good because of him, but he had some great sequences last night.
I have forsaken the sarsaparilla for red wine, and that is how I impress the masses with my sophistication, because I drink red wine now. Both the Merlot, the Pinot Noir, and various blends.
And the Franzia.
Yeah.